It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner has announced a recent audit revealed that complex procedures and internal deficiencies in the county's Department of Human Services could prevent people who are seeking mental health services from getting the help they need. Ms. Wagner and District Attorney Stephen Zappala have jointly investigated DHS's contracted work with Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic's Resolve Crisis Network program. Here to discuss in detail the results of that investigation is Chelsea Wagner. Chelsea Wagner, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us by phone is Jamie Harris. She is Director of Advocacy Programs at Mental Health America, Allegheny County. Jamie Harris, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Chelsea Wagner, let's start with you. How was this problem brought to your attention?
I found out, like everybody else did, and the tragic event that occurred in March of 2012. Where you had the shooting at Western Psych, as I said, a tragic event where you had one person fatally shot, five other wounded, and of course the police who killed the shooter. So with that, of course, I was aware of the district attorney looking into this. And as he proceeded, he had asked our office to look into some of the contract compliance issues. And from our standpoint, which is, of course, different from his as an investigation, for us to look into how Resolve, which is the Department of Western Psych, is basically adhering to their responsibilities under their contract with the county, which amounts to almost $15 million in total, but for their crisis center specifically, about $4 to $5 million.
So there were things that happened with regard to the John Schick case that concerned you, that raised awareness of a potential problem.
Right. And, you know, I have to preface this all by saying that we're all aware that there has been serious decline in funding for mental health programs nationally, statewide for some time. And so we acknowledge that this county and our delivery of services are certainly operating on limited resources. But at the same time, my perspective is, given that is the environment, we should be looking at how we can best provide the services that we need to provide. So when we looked into what occurred, there are certainly major concerns in terms of what I would characterize as a convoluted, complex and rather bureaucratic process. If I just plainly look at a hypothetical and saying something maybe similar, where somebody would need to say, I know somebody, they are a threat to him or herself or to others, what should they do? I find, and this is a personal statement, just from my read on all of these materials and the audit, that this is very, very difficult for people to figure out. So if I, going through all of this paperwork, still have difficulty in saying to you, Paul, in one or two sentences how this process is supposed to work, how can we expect the public at large to know what to do, and even our providers who are the experts in this area? I'm certainly not an expert in mental health.
So I think we all find ourselves going back to the John Schick situation because it was tragically the worst case scenario that unfortunately did play out. What is it about what happened there that has caused you the greatest amount of concern? Is there something there that you think was missed because of a systematic problem?
Well, it's hard to sort of do the Monday morning quarterback. And so I think it's – I have to preface this by saying that I cannot assert, nor would I, on a tragedy like this, that if we try to have a look back in which we're saying if these policies were in place, this would not have happened. So I am not saying that. But what I am looking at this and saying what could we have done better to possibly prevent something like this from ever happening again? And in that sense, what concerns me the most are the reports that a physician had indicated very heightened concerns. I believe the terms that were used were psychotic and dangerous, but then that was denied. Now, full disclosure, there are conflicting opinions that I've reviewed as to whether that happened or not. And by the terms of my audit, we are looking at the process. And for privacy concerns, and even different from what the district attorney would look into on the specific incident, my viewpoint is different. So I don't have access to that information to really develop an opinion as to whether that did occur or not. But just the reports of that concern me. And even more generally speaking, when I hear anecdotal reports from the community on calling in concerns where we don't have the resources, where they're told there's not staff able to assist you. Now, again, that's anecdotal, but I take all of the information that I read and I am given by people who call into our office, conversations I have in the community, and I do apply that to the analysis that we do through the audits in our office.
Does DHS know who the people are at this point, or what the numbers are at this point of people who are falling through the cracks? Do we know who the people are, or is it just the numbers?
I think that's difficult. That's not something that I'm able to give an answer on, and it's a question I still want to be able to answer. So we can look at some of the different data on the number of calls that come in. We do have specific data on how many calls in a year come into the specific department in DHS where they are seeking to have somebody involuntarily committed or 302'd. For this audit, in fact, we were not able to obtain the number just from DHS that were. And I should back up and say with any audit, what we do is a sample size. So that's the standard. So what we took was a period of 18 months. We went the full year of 2012 through half of 2013, and we looked at 100 attempts for involuntary commitment. And of that group, 30 were actually authorized and 70 were not authorized.
And what happened to those 70? Are you tracking what happened to those whose cases were lost or did not receive follow-up?
That's something that I'd like to do with Next Steps, because that's another area where we are limited in terms of privacy with individual contact. But I'm exploring some different ways where we might, through outreach to the community, seek individuals to have a different look, because Western Psych, and I understand this, will not just hand over records and say, here's the contact information for these 70 people who were not authorized. That's not something that I should have access to, and I do understand that. So we have to think of different ways to try to go about that and get more complete information on where there may be differences of opinion and possibly a breakdown in the process.
And who is doing the follow-up on what happened?
So the district attorney, Steve Zappala, is still doing follow-up on this. And, of course, there are, I believe, it might be as many as 5 or 6 different cases that are still in the litigation process. So, like yourself, I've been reading the reports on the different depositions. There was recently a decision by Judge Wettick in Allegheny County to not allow for the deposition to be sealed. And I really agree with his standpoint there, which was this is a matter of public importance, and that the mother of John Schick, he had said, did not assert any real rational reason why she should be able to have that deposition sealed.
Is DHS involved in any way in the follow-up?
I am not sure of that. I do know they are changing some of their processes with the 302 commitment process. For example, one of the problems that we saw in our audit was around the fact that this is still a very much paper process. So when you have somebody that has been authorized, just to give an example, one of the things that we saw was that it then goes to the hospital, and in a couple instances, that paperwork never made it back to DHS. So DHS is in the process of instituting some changes so that they're moving to a more automated and paperless process so that basically the different parties that are part of this are able to see it in real time, and you won't have problems with tracking paper and paper being returned.
And I asked that question because knowing the results of your audit, how do you trust them? How can you trust them?
I think the only thing that we're able to do is a follow-up. And that's something that I've been doing. I've been controller for about 2.5 years. And so what I like to do is, after giving an entity about a year or sometimes more, I think with this audit, we, as I said, we looked at a period of 1.5 years. I think it would be appropriate, after releasing our findings, and we have had a cooperative relationship in this audit with both Western Psych and with the Department of Human Services. I mean, they were responsive to our requests. So I would expect that if I come back to them in 1 year and say we are following up on our findings, to just basically check in and do a sort of baseline to see where they are, that's something I'm certainly interested in doing and do plan to do, and I think that would be the appropriate amount of time.
And we have received a statement from UPMC on this, which we'll share here in just a moment. But I want to remind our listeners, this is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. And we are talking about the investigation and the audit that revealed complex procedures and internal deficiencies in Allegheny County's Department of Human Services, which might have prevented people who are seeking mental health services from getting the help they need. Our guest in studio is Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner, and also with us by phone is Jamie Harris, Director of Advocacy Programs at Mental Health America, Allegheny County. And Ms. Harris, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. What are the potential dangers to a person and to the community if someone says, I need help, and they don't get it?
Well, I think there's another way to frame this conversation, because I think it, you know, inadvertently steers us in the wrong direction. Ultimately, we know that individuals with mental illness are much more likely to be victims of crime than perpetrators of crime, and that accessing treatment and services should not lead to stigmatization of individuals with mental illness. We also know that stigma is a huge barrier to people seeking and accessing treatment. And stigma occurs when there are negative attitudes and beliefs that motivate the general public to fear, reject, avoid, and discriminate against people with mental illness. It leads to isolation, and as I said earlier, it can make people afraid to seek mental health services because of how others may see them. So I think that where it makes sense for this conversation to go is really about access to services for the community. And as Chelsea Wagner pointed to earlier, there have been deep cuts to mental health services in the community. And we know that people can and do recover from mental illness. Often they need supports when they're in the community, but when they do have supports that they need, they do very well. There have been a lot of innovative programs that were started in Allegheny County and the surrounding counties during and following the Mayview closure, when that funding was moved into community resources. Those types of things allow the county to serve a larger number of people.
Yeah, and certainly,
we know that crisis services work. We know that peer services work, peer supports. We know that engaging and involving people in the community is so important to reducing isolation and increasing recovery. And ultimately, we need greater funding to better serve our community. There have been cuts, for example, in transportation that limit access to community mental health centers. There have been cuts to the mental health system itself that have limited access. And that leads to wait times and all kinds of other things. But ultimately, it's about people living in the community and living well, having stable, affordable, safe housing, having social supports and social integration in the community. That's really what I think this conversation needs to be about.
Well, and certainly your point is well taken, Ms. Harris, but there is, in fact, a problem here. And let me put it to you differently. How concerned are you about what might have happened to those who did not receive attention?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not in a position to comment on the specific situation that you and Chelsea Wagner were speaking about earlier, but we do know...
Excuse me.
Ms. Wagner did speak about Resolve.
Let me jump in, Ms. Harris.
We've had very positive experiences with Resolve, getting people connected to treatment. Most people with mental illness want to get access to treatment and want to get appropriate services.
Right, and I guess, Ms. Harris, please. And so to that point, what about those who are not receiving attention? And we know we have a problem here. And I'm not asking you to comment about any specific case, but in general, about those who appear to be falling through the cracks, whose cases are not being followed up on.
Well, you know, I think that by addressing stigma, by increasing access through funding, transportation, housing, engagement in the community, that's a place where we can allow greater opportunity for people to feel like it's a safe place for them to access treatment.
Do you think that there is the possibility that there might have been suicides in some cases where mental health services were not provided?
I think that accessing, making it easier for people to access treatment, whether that's on the insurance side, the transportation side, reducing wait times at community mental health centers by increasing funding and staffing, those are ways that we can better engage people in the community to allow them to get help when they need it. We also have a warm line in Allegheny County in addition to our crisis line. There are a number of places that people can reach out to, but when they feel shamed and isolated, and that if they acknowledge having a mental illness, that they're going to be seen as dangerous to themselves or others. So that sort of widespread public opinion reduces people's likelihood of seeking treatment.
What about those who seek treatment and don't get the treatment? Where do they turn? What do they do?
So people who are seeking treatment but don't get the treatment, so in terms of the wait times?
Or if they never hear back from somebody, which may well be the case here in Allegheny County.
Well, certainly if people are experiencing that, we encourage them to give us a call. Our advocates assist people with connecting to mental health treatment. The Department of Human Services Office of Behavioral Health also assists people with accessing treatment, and we're here to help make those connections. And the crisis lines that are in Allegheny County also help people connect to treatment. So if there is some sort of barrier or communication issue, we will do whatever we can to help connect people to that treatment.
And that's Jamie Harris. He's Director of Advocacy Programs at Mental Health America. Joining us by phone with us in studio is Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner. 412-246-2002. We need to take a break. When we return, we'll take your calls. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner has announced a recent audit revealed that complex procedures and internal deficiencies in the county's Department of Human Services could prevent people who are seeking mental health services from getting the help they need. Ms. Wagner and District Attorney Stephen Zappala have jointly investigated DHS's contracted work with Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic's Resolve Crisis Network program. Here to discuss in detail the results of that investigation is Chelsea Wagner. Chelsea Wagner, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us by phone is Jamie Harris. She is Director of Advocacy Programs at Mental Health America, Allegheny County. Jamie Harris, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Chelsea Wagner, let's start with you. How was this problem brought to your attention?
So sure. I found out like everybody else did, and the tragic event that occurred in March of 2012, where you had the shooting at Western Psych, as I said, a tragic event where you had one person fatally shot, five other wounded, and of course the police who killed the shooter. So with that, of course, I was aware of the district attorney looking into this. And as he proceeded, he had asked our office to look into some of the contract compliance issues. And from our standpoint, which is, of course, different from his as an investigation, for us to look into how Resolve, which is the Department of Western Psych, is basically adhering to their responsibilities under their contract with the county, which amounts to almost $15 million in total, but for their crisis center specifically, about $4 to $5 million.
So there were things that happened with regard to the John Schick case that concerned you, that raised awareness of a potential problem.
Right. And, you know, I have to preface this all by saying that we're all aware that there has been serious decline in funding for mental health programs nationally, statewide for some time. And so we acknowledge that this county and our delivery of services are certainly operating on limited resources. But at the same time, my perspective is, given that is the environment, we should be looking at how we can best provide the services that we need to provide. So when we looked into what occurred, there are certainly major concerns in terms of what I would characterize as a convoluted, complex, and rather bureaucratic process. If I just plainly look at a hypothetical and saying something maybe similar, where somebody would need to say, I know somebody, they are a threat to him or herself or to others, what should they do? I find, and this is a personal statement, just from my read on all of these materials and the audit, that this is very, very difficult for people to figure out. So if I, going through all of this paperwork, still have difficulty in saying to you, Paul, in one or two sentences, how this process is supposed to work, how can we expect the public at large to know what to do, and even our providers who are the experts in this area? I'm certainly not an expert in mental health.
So and I think we all find ourselves going back to the John Schick situation because it was tragically the worst case scenario that unfortunately did play out. What is it about what happened there that has caused you the greatest amount of concern? Is there something there that you think was missed because of a systematic problem?
Well, it's hard to sort of do the Monday morning quarterback. And so I think it's – I have to preface this by saying that I cannot assert, nor would I, on a tragedy like this, that if we try to have a look back in which we're saying if these policies were in place, this would not have happened. So I am not saying that. But what I am looking at this and saying, what could we have done better to possibly prevent something like this from ever happening again? And in that sense, what concerns me the most are the reports that a physician had indicated very heightened concerns. I believe the terms that were used were psychotic and dangerous, but then that was denied. Now, full disclosure, there are conflicting opinions that I've reviewed as to whether that happened or not. And by the terms of my audit, we are looking at the process. And for privacy concerns, and even different from what the district attorney would look into on the specific incident, my viewpoint is different. So I don't have access to that information to really develop an opinion as to whether that did occur or not. But just the reports of that concern me. And even more generally speaking, when I hear anecdotal reports from the community on calling in concerns where we don't have the resources, where they're told there's not staff able to assist you. Now, again, that's anecdotal, but I take all of the information that I read and I am given by people who call into our office, conversations I have in the community, and I do apply that to the analysis that we do through the audits in our office.
Does DHS know who the people are at this point, or what the numbers are at this point of people who are falling through the cracks? Do we know who the people are, or is it just the numbers?
I think that's difficult. That's not something that I'm able to give an answer on. And it's a question I still want to be able to answer. So we can look at some of the different data on the number of calls that come in. We do have specific data on how many calls in a year come into the specific department in DHS where they are seeking to have somebody involuntarily committed or 302'd. For this audit, in fact, we were not able to obtain the number just from DHS that were. And I should back up and say with any audit, what we do is a sample size. So that's the standard. So what we took was a period of 18 months. We went the full year of 2012 through half of 2013, and we looked at 100 attempts for involuntary commitment. And of that group, 30 were actually authorized and 70 were not authorized.
And what happened to those 70? Are you tracking what happened to those whose cases were lost or did not receive follow-up?
That's something that I'd like to do with Next Steps, because that's another area where we are limited in terms of privacy with individual contact. But I'm exploring some different ways where we might, through outreach to the community, seek individuals to have a different look, because Western Psych, and I understand this, will not just hand over records and say, here's the contact information for these 70 people who were not authorized. That's not something that I should have access to, and I do understand that. So we have to think of different ways to try to go about that and get more complete information on where there may be differences of opinion and possibly a breakdown in the process.
And who is doing the follow-up on what happened?
So the district attorney, Steve Zappala, is still doing follow-up on this. And, of course, there are, I believe, it might be as many as 5 or 6 different cases that are still in the litigation process. So, like yourself, I've been reading the reports on the different depositions. There was recently a decision by Judge Wettick in Allegheny County to not allow for the deposition to be sealed. And I really agree with his standpoint there, which was this is a matter of public importance, and that the mother of John Schick, he had said, did not assert any real rational reason why she should be able to have that deposition sealed.
Is DHS involved in any way in the follow-up?
I am not sure of that. I do know they are changing some of their processes with the 302 commitment process. For example, one of the problems that we saw in our audit was around the fact that this is still a very much paper process. So when you have somebody that has been authorized, just to give an example, one of the things that we saw was that it then goes to the hospital, and in a couple instances, that paperwork never made it back to DHS. So DHS is in the process of instituting some changes so that they're moving to a more automated and paperless process so that basically the different parties that are part of this are able to see it in real time, and you won't have problems with tracking paper and paper being returned.
And I asked that question because knowing the results of your audit, how do you trust them? How can you trust them?
I think the only thing that we're able to do is a follow-up. And that's something that I've been doing. I've been controller for about 2.5 years. And so what I like to do is after giving an entity about a year or sometimes more, I think with this audit, we, as I said, we looked at a period of a year and a half. I think it would be appropriate after releasing our findings, and we have had a cooperative relationship in this audit with both Western Psych and with the Department of Human Services. I mean, they were responsive to our requests. So I would expect that if I come back to them in a year and say we are following up on our findings to just basically check in and do a sort of baseline to see where they are, that's something I'm certainly interested in doing and do plan to do, and I think that would be the appropriate amount of time.
And we have received a statement from UPMC on this, which we'll share here in just a moment. But I want to remind our listeners, this is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA, and we are talking about the investigation and the audit that revealed complex procedures and internal deficiencies in Allegheny County's Department of Human Services, which might have prevented people who are seeking mental health services from getting the help they need. Our guest in studio is Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner, and also with us by phone is Jamie Harris, Director of Advocacy Programs at Mental Health America, Allegheny County. And Ms. Harris, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. What are the potential dangers to a person and to the community if someone says, I need help, and they don't get it?
Well, I think there's another way to frame this conversation because I think it, you know, inadvertently steers us in the wrong direction. Ultimately, we know that individuals with mental illness are much more likely to be victims of crime than perpetrators of crime, and that accessing treatment and services should not lead to stigmatization of individuals with mental illness. We also know that stigma is a huge barrier to people seeking and accessing treatment. And stigma occurs when there are negative attitudes and beliefs that motivate the general public to fear, reject, avoid, and discriminate against people with mental illness. It leads to isolation, and as I said earlier, it can make people afraid to seek mental health services because of how others may see them. So I think that where it makes sense for this conversation to go is really about access to services for the community. And as Chelsea Wagner pointed to earlier, there have been deep cuts to mental health services in the community. And we know that people can and do recover from mental illness. Often they need supports when they're in the community, but when they do have supports that they need, they do very well. There have been a lot of innovative programs that were started in Allegheny County and the surrounding counties during and following the Mayview closure, when that funding was moved into community resources. Those types of things allow the county to serve a larger number of people.
Yeah, and certainly,
We know that crisis services work. We know that peer services work, peer supports. We know that engaging and involving people in the community is so important to reducing isolation and increasing recovery. And ultimately, we need greater funding to better serve our community. There have been cuts, for example, in transportation that limit access to community mental health centers. There have been cuts to the mental health system itself that have limited access. And that leads to wait times and all kinds of other things. But ultimately, it's about people living in the community and living well, having stable, affordable, safe housing, having social supports and social integration in the community. That's really what I think this conversation needs to be about.
Well, and certainly your point is well taken, Ms. Harris, but there is in fact a problem here, and let me put it to you differently. How concerned are you about what might have happened to those who did not receive attention?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not in a position to comment on the specific situation that you and Chelsea Wagner were speaking about earlier, but we do know...
Excuse me.
Ms. Wagner did speak about Resolve earlier. We've had very positive experiences with Resolve, getting people connected to treatment. Most people with mental illness want to get access to treatment and want to get appropriate services.
Right, and I guess, and let me jump in, Ms. Harris, please. So to that point, what about those who are not receiving attention? And we know we have a problem here. And I'm not asking you to comment about any specific case, but in general, about those who appear to be falling through the cracks, whose cases are not being followed up on.
Well, you know, I think that by addressing stigma, by increasing access through funding, transportation, housing, engagement in the community, that's a place where we can allow greater opportunity for people to feel like it's a safe place for them to access treatment.
Do you think that there is the possibility that there might have been suicides in some cases where mental health services were not provided?
I think that accessing, making it easier for people to access treatment, whether that's on the insurance side, the transportation side, reducing wait times at community mental health centers by increasing funding and staffing, those are ways that we can better engage people in the community to allow them to get help when they need it. We also have a warm line in Allegheny County in addition to our crisis line. There are a number of places that people can reach out to, but when they feel shamed and isolated, and that if they acknowledge having a mental illness, that they're going to be seen as dangerous to themselves or others. So that sort of widespread public opinion reduces people's likelihood of seeking treatment.
What about those who seek treatment and don't get the treatment? Where do they turn? What do they do?
So people who are seeking treatment but don't get the treatment, so in terms of the wait times?
Or if they never hear back from somebody, which may well be the case here in Allegheny County.
Well, certainly if people are experiencing that, we encourage them to give us a call. Our advocates assist people with connecting to mental health treatment. The Department of Human Services Office of Behavioral Health also assists people with accessing treatment, and we're here to help make those connections. And the crisis lines that are in Allegheny County also help people connect to treatment. So if there is some sort of barrier or communication issue, we will do whatever we can to help connect people to that treatment.
And that's Jamie Harris. He's Director of Advocacy Programs at Mental Health America. Joining us by phone with us in studio is Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. Again, our number 412-246-2002. We need to take a break. When we return, we'll take your calls. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.